Welcome in, buddy. Brother Goodwin here. You're watching Protestant Spotlight. Don't touch that channel. Stay right here. We got some exciting stuff for you. We got a show coming next week on deception. Man, oh man, have we got a show for you. Cutting edge stuff, stuff that you haven't heard before. Not that it's new. It's always been there. But we're going to share something next in next week's program with you. It's very exciting. Very eye-opening. Very, very, very shocking. Today we got another cutting edge show, a groundbreaking episode with Doc sitting right here. Doc called me on the phone. He told me about what he had. And I said, holy cow, that is good stuff. And, today's program, we're going to be talking about some patterns in the Bible that shed light on the rapture. This is pretty exciting and I want you to hear it. And, so we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Hey, welcome everybody, Brother Goodwin and Dr. Charles Hiltzbiddle here with you with an exciting show for you. This is going to be one of them groundbreaking things. This is something that's always been there, Doc, but you just happened to hit on it, and yeah. God gave you some light here.
See, well, preachers will understand this. You'll see something or hear something. It may just be a comment, or it might have been something that spoke to your heart while somebody's preaching on something else. It's just something. And it starts you researching and studying, and this thing leads to the next to the next. That's kind of what happened here.
I get sermon ideas all the time and Bible study ideas listening to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, something triggers something.
And then you have to remind yourself, there's nothing new under the sun, so you're really not the first one to come.
You're just getting another way to shine a light on something.
Yes. And, of course, we're involved. You know, our ministry has to do with the end times, the rapture of the saints, and it's not the rapture of the church, the rapture of the saints, is a big issue.
Yeah.
And in these last, 8 or 10 years, it's become a kind of a convoluted subject because you got people who believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, like us, and you got the mid-tribulation rapture guys, and you got the pre-rap raptured guys, and then you got the post-tribulation rapture guy. I mean, all over the
and
place.
Then the pan guys.
Yeah,
it's all going to pan out.
It's all going to pan out. Or some that say, well, it's not even going to happen. It's not, you know. Anyway, so. But like we've talked many times, and what came to me while the Lord was giving me then, and I was working on this, I realized that the Lord has all of this already there. It's just amazing how sometimes it just like the light bulb comes on and you begin putting point A with point B and C and D, and all of a sudden you say, wow. I haven't seen this before. And this is an area like that. And listen, I grew up under my uncle as a pastor who in the 60s, that's 1960s, in the 60s, he was well known for being a teacher, preacher on the end times. I can remember seeing his hand-painted chart, 22 feet, if I remember right, hung across in the auditorium, and he taught on the Book of Revelation. I mean, it's so real that I could close my eyes and see it.
Wow.
And I've known all this, preached it, been a part of it, but then what I come across here, I'd never seen it before in 60-plus years of ministry.
Okay, it's called. You call this patterns in the Bible that shed light on the rapture.
That's right.
Bible patterns of separation before action.
That's right.
And you were talking to me on the phone about this, and boy, you had my ear.
Yeah.
And you said every time God gets ready to do something, there's a separation first. Even when in David's day or other men in the Bible, in the book of Judges, he would give them a warning. Abraham.
That's right.
To Abraham.
Absolutely.
And said, I need to tell Abraham what I'm getting ready to do. Yeah. I'm getting ready to destroy a country or a place. And I'm going to tell Abraham first because we got to deal with some separation issues.
It is. But there's a very practical nature to what we're going to talk about besides just having to do with the rapture itself. But before we get started, I'd like for our folks to just be honest with us, each of us together at the moment, and say, we're going to do one thing. We're going to let the Bible be its own dictionary. And we're going to let the Bible be its own commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to follow some basic rules of Bible interpretation. We're not talking about anybody's book, and I've got a book on the rapture here. We're not talking about my book or anybody else's book. But what is a rule, number one, if there's priorities in it, number one, you always keep your text in context, whatever you're studying. Keep it in its context. Yeah. And another, one of the major, I would call, rules for interpretation is the law of first mention.
Yeah.
And with the law of first mention is also the law of first usage. And so with that in mind, we realize that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Mm-hmm.
He said in Malachi, he said, I am the Lord and I change not. And so if that's the case, however God uses something in the beginning, it's how he's going to use it all the way through the Bible. However he used it at the beginning of time, he's going to do that and use it the same way throughout all of time. And so with that in mind, what we need to understand is there's a principle, a pattern, which I believe is a principle as well as a pattern, and it begins on day number one of creation. And on day number one of creation, we find that that before God actually begins the creative work, even though on day number one he's brought into existence what never existed before, water. But before he brings about the heaven and then the earth and all the rest of the things he's going to do, on day number one, verse number four said, he divided the light from the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And I begin to think, if he begins there on day number two, he's going to divide again. He's going to divide the waters that are beneath and the waters above. And then he's going to divide again on day number four. The word is bedal in Hebrew, which means to divide or to separate, and began looking at it and realized that literally on each day of creation, there is a separation that takes place before there's an action.
Mm.
And then I began to think, well, what was Paul's question? Paul got asked a question by the folks at Corinth. And they wanted to know, chapter 15 is a well-known chapter concerning the resurrection and the rapture and those kind of things.
Yeah.
And they had asked in verse 35 concerning how are the dead raised up and with what body are they going to be raised? So the context of the rest of the end of the chapter then is Paul's dealing with that subject of the resurrection and answering it. And in order to do it, in verse number 47, he takes you back to the beginning. Now, there's a there's a statement you're always saying all the time.
Teach out the end from the beginning.
And you're always saying, if you want to know how it ends,
go back to the beginning.
Go back to the beginning. So with that principle in mind, what did Paul do? The very first thing he does when he really gets into the meat of answering the questions, he starts in verse 47. He said, the first man. Well, wait a minute, who's the first man? Adam.
Mm-hmm.
He takes you back to the first. And then he says, the first man is earthly, and the second man, the Lord is from heaven. And then he's going to bring you through that, and then eventually it's going to be the trump, the last trump, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we would rise anyway. And so in order to answer the resurrection in the future, he goes back to the beginning. So if God goes back to the beginning, and I believe the Holy Spirit is the one who guided Paul in these matters.
Yep.
And so I think he's picked up on the pattern that God's established in the beginning, that before he does an action, there comes a separation, a dividing. And so that started me down the road of looking at these patterns, and the pattern from creation is, by the way, it's the same pattern that Peter's going to use over in 2 Peter chapter 3, where Peter's going to deal with the day of the Lord and the coming of the day of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What's he do? He takes you back to creation.
Yeah.
Sets it in creation. Why? Because there's a pattern that God has established of separating and then acting.
And that 2 Peter chapter 3 there, the whole chapter is prophetic.
Yes.
And it does. It goes all the way back to Genesis.
Absolutely.
And in the middle of that chapter, verse 8, it says, a day is with the Lord is a thousand years.
A thousand years is.
And preachers fight over that. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean that those represent a thousand-year period. Yes, it does.
It does.
Certainly does.
Absolutely,
and
it does.
It's a pattern.
It's a pattern.
You're exactly right.
And there are many patterns in the Bible. And numbers are patterns and other things. But patterns that started in Genesis. And by the way, when the Lord was asked in Matthew chapter 24, concerning these matters, what they wanted to know about this. And he said in verse 36, he said, but of the day of the Lord knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, my Father only. He said, but as the days of Noah.
He goes back to the beginning.
He goes back to the pattern. And to answer the question, so also shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man.
Yeah.
And so so he goes
in
back.
Other
and
words,
so
there's a separation.
There's a separation.
That has to happen before,
there's
judgment
an action.
And things can happen.
That's
for
right.
The tribulation.
That's right.
Yep.
And, well, when he says that, what's he thinking about? Well, in Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 16, the Bible says there that the Lord told Noah, after he got all the animals two by twos on the ark, he said, Noah, you and your family come in. And what happened? God shut the door. God sealed the door.
Yeah.
And then what? 7 days happened. It's amazing, the number seven. We'll talk about that a little maybe here in a minute. But 7 days, and then action happened. God separated Noah, sealed him in, and then comes the judgment.
Yeah.
And so so when Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, I mean, he's saying, to answer your question, guys, there's going to be a separation. I'm going to separate you from here, and then I'm going to bring the judgment down. And that's what follows the rapture. Of course, there's a tribulation.
Yeah.
And that's a time of judgment. And so let's just kind of go back to the beginning and the word divide, as I said, comes from the word badal. It means literally to separate and to make a distinction, to set apart. And that's what happened when we got saved. We were set apart.
Now, there's a good illustration with Lot.
Yes.
I believe you talked about that in this article, too.
Yep.
Lot was visited by some angels.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of other stories we could share about that. But the main thing we want to get is the angel's job was to get Lot and his family out of there, out of Dodge, so to speak, because judgment was the fire.
Right.
God was going to destroy the place.
God had to separate them from there before he could bring judgment.
And I like what they said, make haste.
Yep.
And I don't remember how it's worded, but I'll just guess at it. Because I can do nothing till I deliver you out of here. In other words, the judgment cannot come, the fire cannot fall until I deliver you out of this land because you're a righteous person.
That's the pattern, the separation before the action. And it goes back to chapter 1.
And that's a type of the rapture.
That's right. It is.
Lot had to be delivered before the fire could
fall.
Before
the judgment fell.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, in Genesis, day number 1, he divided. There's the separation. He divided the light from the dark. On day number 2, he divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. On day number 3, he separated the dry land from the sea. On day number 4, God said, let there be lights in the heaven and in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Day number 5, he's going to divide in the waters beneath. Is going to be the fish from the fowls of the air above. On day number 6, he's going to make the animals of the world, and he's going to separate man from that and make man separately.
And there's clean and unclean animals.
That's right. And so when he on day number 6, when somebody says, "Well, man evolved from animals world," no, he didn't. Because he made him separate.
Yeah.
He was separate from the rest of the work that was all by his mouth. He said, and there it was. But when it come then to make man, he physically made man and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. The numbers are also important. The first verse in our Bible, verse 1, in Hebrew, is 7 words. Verse number 2 is 14 words, 2 sets of 7s. It's amazing when you look at it and you realize that the word Elohim is 35 times in the book of, in chapter number 1.
Mm-hmm.
35 times. That's, what's 5? That's the number of grace.
Yep.
Completed.
Oh. Yep,
complete grace. Amen. Yep. Isn't that wonderful? And earth is 21 times and heaven is 21 times and the number. So the patterns, I don't think then these are coincidental. I don't think any of this is coincidental with God.
No.
I think he's demonstrating that he sets a pattern and he follows that pattern through all of time. And I think it's a pattern of completion. Well, you mentioned it a while ago, and we'll get to it. But let's before we get to Lot, how about the fact that he separated Enoch, from everybody else. He was not, for God took him. The word there for took him is the word lakeia. It literally means by force. By the way, that's exactly what it means when it says in the book of when Paul talks about it in the rapture is taking place in 1 Thessalonians chapter 15 or chapter number 4.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? We're snatched away. It's the exact same principle. And what about he separated Abraham from his kindred, from his family, from his homeland? For what purpose? So that he could make a nation for him, through him, to provide redemption for the world. He separated Lot from Sodom, as you mentioned a while ago, in order that he could bring about that judgment. He separated Moses from Egypt so that he could make him a man to lead a people that would become a nation. All of it had to do with redemption. He separated Israel from the Egyptians in Exodus chapter 10. He told Moses, lift your hand up And he said, when you do, I'm going to strike the land of Egypt with darkness. And for 3 days, the darkness, it says, the darkness was, you could feel it. It was so dark, nobody moved. Nobody done anything for 3 days. But the Bible said, where the Israelites lived, it was light. Mm-hmm. There was a separation. Why? Because God's getting ready to do a work and bring Israel out of bondage. And he separated Israel from the armies that were pursuing them. They got up to the Red Sea, and here come the armies. And what's going to happen? God said, okay, no problem. I'm going to separate you. And so he brought a cloud in. It turned night on this side and stayed daylight on that side. And Israel got over on the other side. And God break the what? A separation before he brought deliverance.
So before the Lord can bring judgment upon this world and deal with Israel and the Antichrist and all that, he's this principle all the way back to Genesis.
That's right.
He's got to remove the saints.
That's it.
From the world.
He's going to end the church age, and he's going to remove the saints out of here so that he can act. But he's not going to act until he separates.
He gave us a pattern.
Exactly.
And that pattern works throughout the Bible.
That's right. Well, he separated Moses and the righteous, remember the rebellion of Korah?
Yep.
Yeah. He said, okay, everybody stand back. Who's on the Lord's side? The separation. And then came an action. He separated Israel from the Gentile world. Here's what 1 Kings chapter 8, 53. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant. So Israel's been set aside. They've been separated, and they were used to provide a body for Christ on Calvary for redemption's work. And God's not through. He's still got some things to do with it. But he's separated. So it just keeps going on and on and on. But time's not going to wait.
And isn't that what the church is? The church is a called
out assembly. That's right. Called out assembly.
He separates the church out and keeps us separate from the darkness, the world.
And so many applications. That's why I said this is not only prophetic, but it's very practical in nature. But let's tie this quickly to Daniel chapter number 9.
All right. Stop right there. Let me just make a comment here to the folks watching today. We are viewer supported. And every now and then, I just want to remind everybody that we operate, we stay on the air with the gifts from God's people. The folks that write us checks or go to the website and hit the donate button with your credit card, or you call the 800 number that flashes up here every few minutes. And you say, hey, I want to be a partner with Prosperous Spotlight. I want to keep you guys on the air.
Amen.
All right, we're on several networks: CTN, VTN, BBS Radio, and a couple of others. I think Foundation TV, and what was that other one? Faith and Freedom. We're on Faith and Freedom. We're on several radio stations around the country, and it all started, Doc, 6 years ago in June. And we started our program, and we joke about it. We started with no money.
We still have no money.
We still got no money.
But we're here.
And God is blessing. I think we're filling a niche out there. I think people look to us. I get phone calls every day. I get emails, people wanting to know, what do you guys think's happening? What's this mean? I think we've helped people on some issues, Doc.
Absolutely.
I think we really have.
Yes.
And all right, so the need arises. Every now and then we need to remind everybody about the financial condition here. And we're not riding around on Lear jets. We're not. We don't live in mansions. And Doc and I do not even get a salary from Prosperous Spotlight. And all right, so go ahead, Doc.
Well, Daniel chapter 9, of course, we're all familiar that's the last 7 years of that prophecy is not yet finished. But I have a statement that, while I was putting this together, the Lord gave me this thought. God started with 7 days. He's going to end with 7 years.
That's good. I saw that in there.
And by the way, in the millennial time, there's going to be a separation. In Ezekiel chapter 42 and verse 20, there's going to be a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. And there's going to be a separation for the new world to come. Have you ever thought about it? Matthew chapter 25, what did he say he was going to do? He's going to divide the nations. And you got the goats on the left hand and the sheep on the right hand. For what purpose? He's going to separate them. And he says to those on the right hand, enter into the joy of the kingdom. Yeah, a separation. It's all throughout the Bible, everywhere you look, Dan. And but bottom line is, if he divided the light from the darkness as a pattern, when Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he talks about the fact that we as believers are not of the night, but as children of the day, we're children of the light. God has set us aside, and this is why truly born again people can look at what's happening in the world, and by the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're able to see what the lost world cannot see. It's impossible. Yeah. I mean, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And so the patterns are embedded from Genesis all the way through the Bible. Separation from darkness to light is God's plan for the believer.
Yeah.
And so the practical thing, and we got a lot of other things, but the practical thing is the fact that the pattern, the prophecy, and the promise of being separated before God takes action with the last 7 years before the restored earth and the millennial reign, it is there. I don't know how you cannot see that from this pattern. I don't care where you've stood before, pre, mid, post, in your position. I'm here to tell you the pattern that Jesus shows us is pre-tribulation rapture by the pattern.
Even the principle of heaven and hell.
That's right.
Hell is a separation. Separated from God.
Absolutely.
Separated from everything. Everything is good.
Everything.
And we're
separated from here into a new body, a glorified body, and eventually into an eternity forever. Wow, what a time is coming, Dan.
Well, great stuff, Doc. I think this is going to be a help to some people in their...
I don't know how you can... If you're going to be honest and say, we're going to follow these rules of interpretation, and we're going to let the Bible be the dictionary and commentary, I don't know how you could come up with anything other, because nothing is going to contradict itself. This is a pattern, and it is going to carry you all the way to the rapture.
Yeah. The story of Lot is a pattern.
Yes.
Noah's
a pattern.
The story of Noah. Noah got in the ark. God shut him in.
That's
right.
And
then God brought the flood, judgment upon the world.
Amen.
These illustrations and patterns are all through the Bible. And good stuff. Well, I hope you're born again. I hope you've been separated. I hope you've trusted the Lord as your Savior. If you have any question about that, you can write to us in an email. You can call the 800 number. You can... we'd love to help you if we can. Okay? See you next time. Until then, keep your eyes on them skies.